Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1503. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Weekly Progression Ideas. So one of our listeners reached out. They're a personal trainer, and they said they work in Australia. Woohoo! That's fun. So thank you for listening. And they said that they were kind of just interested if there were some odd or unique ways or different than normal ways that I manage weekly progression for myself and for my clients. So I thought that would be fun to share. So I'm going to share three that I like and actually just used this past week in my own training. And then also we do have some past podcasts that I sent them that helped a lot as well. So the three ways that I use, I just used this week. One of them is slow and go. Well, I guess like before I talk about that, the idea of making weekly progressions, what that refers to or what that is it's very important that you continue to push stimulus into the body for change. The body has to feel that what you're doing in training is near its maximal abilities, so it continues the desire to increase its maximal abilities. So once you get used to something, your body doesn't change anymore because it doesn't need to. It can do it. So you have to force progressions, and that's typically adding weight, adding reps, adding volume in some way, intensity in some way, every time you work out. Now, it might not need to be like every single week. I have my clients aim for that, and we rotate our workouts every 4 weeks so they can continue to do so. We get our strongest change stimulus in weeks 3 and 4. But if you stay with something too long, you start to kind of break down your technique in order to try to force extra weight or extra reps. And typically it leads to some kind of chronic annoyance or just inefficient waste of time. You know, somebody's like, oh, you know, I felt like a little nuance of a better position in this one rep. And it's like, oh my gosh, you did 50 reps and you think you improved maybe the feel of one. That's not enough. So making progressions is extremely important because you need to continue to push the body to continue to adapt, to continue to change. We have podcast 1305. It's a training podcast titled What Matters More, Exercise Selection or Progression. That would be a great one to check out. You can find all of our podcasts on our website at www.brutalirongym.com. So that would be a good one to check out. So that way you have an idea of why in the world progressions are important and why we're fishing around to try to find ways to do it. So the first one that I want to share with you guys that I shared with that trainer is slow and go technique. So we've also talked about how when you perform an exercise, you want to create strain and challenge into the muscle. If you do something too perfect, it might not be heavy enough to actually strain the muscle. So I might be able to do the perfect bicep curl, but if I'm only using 5 pounds, that is not going to strain my muscle. But if I try to curl a 50-pound dumbbell and it looks like crap, I'm using the front of my shoulder, I'm swinging my whole body to try to do it, then I'm not really isolating and working the bicep because so many other muscles are taking over. So there is this kind of range where if you go too perfect, you end up being too light. If you go too heavy, your technique is crap and you're no longer actually working the right muscle. To learn how to play within that range, one of the techniques I've used for clients is what I call slow and go. What this means is we're going to start the set, a single set of effort. Maybe we go for, say, 10 reps. And I'm like, I want you to go super crisp, perfect, clean, for as many reps as you can. But I purposely pick a weight that they can't do for all 10 reps like that. So in their warm-up, I might have them do 10 reps, you know, see if it looks perfect. We talk about technique, da-da-da-da-da. Then I bump the weight up a little bit. I notice they start to strain to try to get all 10. And then I'm like, okay, so now we're going to do it. So I give them like 2 sets to kind of practice it. We talk about the technique of that exercise, let alone the technique of slow and go. So then we get to a weight where I know they're not going to get all 10 super slow. And I'll say, okay, I want you to go as slow as you can, but if it feels like all of a sudden you can't go slow anymore, don't stop the set. See if you can do a couple reps, but a little bit quicker. So slow and then go. So our go reps are kind of faster reps. So maybe the slow ones, you count them, might be at the pace of like 1, 2, 3. And then you get to the go reps, maybe at the later end of the set, and it might be like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then you die. But that's the idea, is you start super slow, and then instead of stopping the movement, when the slow speed fatigues, you try to just go a little faster, a little faster, a little faster. So, for example, I was doing hamstring curls the other day, and I was doing a bunch of other weird things, and I got to the hamstring curl machine, and I was using 70 pounds where I was curling up, and I was using one of our stoppers. We have a neat hamstring curl machine that allows you to control your end point and your starting point. So I was coming up to the stopper, the end point stopper, and trying to, basically I would hit it, and it would prevent me from going any further, but I would contract super freaking hard and pull into the stopper. So it was like an isometric contraction. So it creates a really good muscle damage, and it's just a nice, fun, weird variation. So I was doing that for 70 pounds, and I noticed that for me, like, I got 6 reps where I could come up, touch the stopper, and pull into the stopper for 2 counts. So I would hit the stop, like, touch the stopper, then I'd pull, go 1, 2, and then I'd start to let down. And then I had to use 4 reps where I just kind of tapped the stopper. So it was 6 slow plus 4 go. My goal then would be next week is, can I get 7 slow and 3 go? So I still want to use the same weight, 70 pounds. I still want to go for 10 reps. But can I do more slow reps since they demonstrate a better muscular strength control over the weight? So I'd like to progress those. So I want to see if I can get more slow reps. And maybe it's 7 and 3, maybe the next week it's 8 and 2, then it's 9 and 1. That would be wonderful if it worked, but it doesn't. So eventually you'll find, okay, crap, I can't progress the slow, but maybe I can progress the go. So understanding the rep range that would be best for my goal. So if my goal is muscular growth, say maybe I'm aiming between 8 to 14 reps, and, you know, somewhere in there, depending on the speed you move and blah, blah, blah. But say 8 to 14 reps. So I might use 10 as my target. So I got 6 and 4. Maybe next week I can do 7 and 3. Then I try to beat that, and I'm like, crap, I only got 7 slow. Rather than only doing 3 go, maybe I'll see if I can do 4 or 5 go ones. I'm still going to end up within my range of 8 to 14 if I get 2 or 3 extra go reps, but that's at least some form of progression that pushed an added stimulus from the previous workout. So I added stress compared to the last workout. So you can add slow or you can add to the go, but you want to make sure you stay within the rep range that's correct for your goals. Now, to help understand that, we have podcast 214. Now, that's an old one, long ago, so 1,200 podcasts ago, roughly. You can find that through our website, again, www.berlinergym.com. But it's 214 is a training podcast titled Understanding Rep Ranges and Expected Results. So that way you know, okay, if I want strength, these are the rep ranges I should be at. If I want muscle mass, if I want muscular endurance, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's a really cool technique, slow and go. One of my favorites, I use that all the time. I use it a lot when I'm at commercial gyms because you can just stay on that singular piece of equipment. You can't do a lot of supersets in commercial gyms. So I like the slow and go technique. Another one I like is, I just call it additional peak sets. So I might have the person do, say, 3 working sets. They're going to do 2 sets where they stop 1 to 2 reps short of failure. So we call those RIR, reps in reserve. So I know that I would have had one or two more reps in reserve. I could have done 1 or 2 more if I wanted to. So I might do 2 sets with 1 to 2 RIR. The form is super crisp. Everything's controlled. And I tell people, it's like I'm videoing you, and I want you to show how freaking perfect and awesome you can do this exercise. So you're having everybody in the world is watching you, and you're trying to be absolutely perfect. So that way, they get really good technique development. We stop 1 or 2 reps short of failure, so that way they don't push into ugly technique. And it gets them a volume. It gets them a stimulus. And then we have 1 peak set. The peak set is taken to good form failure. And if they get a little squirrely here or there, it's not the end of the world. You know, so as long as their spine isn't twisting, as long as other muscles aren't, you know, becoming the dominant mover, we a little bit of rhythm, you know, a little bit of movement's okay. So we'll do two kind of sub-maximal but still very challenging working sets. So 1 to 2 reps in reserve, 1 to 2 reps short of failure. Then we do one peak set that is to good form failure. Then what I would do the next week is I would try to push one of those RIR sets, those reps in reserve sets, closer to failure. So maybe I'll do the first RIR set with 2 reps in reserve. The next one, I want it to be like questionable. Maybe I would have had one more of decent technique. And then the third set, I go for all out, go for broke. So good form failure. So I progress the intensity of that second working set, and that is a form of progression from the previous week. Then what I could do the following week is maybe I could push that second set truly to good form failure, and then again the third one to good form failure. Then maybe the fourth week I push all 3 to good form failure. So just kind of playing around with the intensity of the working sets to add additional peak sets as you go through the progressions. So that's a really cool technique. The third technique I like to use, I just did it this past week, is a total rep count progression. So what I'll have is I'll say, okay, I want to move this weight, and I want to see in 3 sets, you know, how many reps can I do? So I was doing some dumbbell chest presses. I haven't done dumbbell chest presses in a little while for various reasons, but I wanted to see, I was like, okay, I haven't done presses in a while. Let me see if I can throw the hundreds around. So I did well. I was very happy with myself. I wanted to see if I could get hundreds for 20 reps. Bummer, I only got 19. But it was 15-degree incline, which is my favorite way to do chest presses because it gets a little bit of a blend of the upper chest with the middle chest. So I was doing 15-degree incline chest presses. I got 19 with the hundreds. Then I took a break. I got 14, then 11 and 11. So I died. Died pretty quick there. But what that did was that added up to 55 total reps. So I had 4 working sets because I wanted to see if I could get to 50. So I needed the 4th set to get to 50. but I got 19, 14, 11, 11. So that's 55 total reps. What I like to do is the first week I try this technique, the very first set, I go all out. I mean, absolutely go for broke, psyched up, try to crush the world, all out. And the reason why is then you will have a huge drop off after that. You will incredibly muscular fatigue from there on out. So as you saw, it went 19, 14, 11, 11. So it all went from 19 all the way down to 11. Well, what's fun then is the second week, you try to be more strategic. You're like, okay, well, if I go for broke on the first one, I'll wear myself out again. Can I hold back on the first one? Therefore, I can do a little better on the second, third, and fourth one, and then maybe I can add to my total rep count. So when I did it again, I got 15, 15, 15, 13. That added up to 58 reps. So week one was 55 reps, week two was 58. So it's pretty fun to kind of play around with that. Now, there's a lot of variations to total rep count progressions. I'll have done them blending in speed progressions and tempo progressions. So maybe the first working set, if I'm doing 3 working sets, maybe the first working set I do a 5 count eccentric. The second working set I do a 3 count eccentric. The last working set I go whatever eccentric speed that I feel like is good and controlled. So I go 5, 3, then say, let's just say 1. So then the next week, maybe I go 3, 1, 1. Then the third week, it's all just normal speed. So I've played around with tempo progressions that allows you to add more total repetitions. So that way your total rep count progression per week can actually increase over the speed of 4 weeks, the span of 4 weeks. So if you play with tempo progressions, you can actually blend that into this total rep count progression scheme. And that ends up being really a lot of fun. So those are 3 techniques I just used in my last workouts, and these are things I use with clients all of the time. Like I said, I really love like the slow and go in the additional peak sets. It gives us time to work on perfecting technique, a lot of really good educational moments rather than the person just going crazy and crushing things. But also, it's not all teaching and they never get to go crazy and crush things. So it's a nice blend. Then a total rep count progression I really like because it increases strength endurance, which is a very specific concept that people don't have if they don't train intensely and for a long time. If they don't have a long history of training, they'll be able to display strength kind of like once and they die off from there. And if you really push that total rep count progression, you really can push their strength endurance, which then lets you increase your total volume in training without spending more time in the gym. So you can actually get a lot greater results from the exact same amount of time because they're able to sustain heavier weights for longer throughout the workout. So really, really, really cool stuff. I love that stuff. So again, if you want to check out those resources, we talked about the progression resource was podcast 1305. We had the time under tension, kind of the rep range podcast was 214. And then we also have another podcast, 1281. It's a training podcast titled Programming Techniques for Increased Intensity. And we talk about other intensity techniques like rest pause, drop set, run the rack, and other fun things like that. Cool. Well, hopefully that was helpful. I do want to point out on our website, I have been putting up a lot more programming, a lot more content. We have our training templates. So since this was a question from a trainer, I want to talk to the trainers. And for anybody out there who wants to learn that, learn how to train themselves. We have training templates now on our website. And they are best for people who want to write their own programming and have a lot of variability in it, but have consistency to it. And that's also the benefit for personal trainers and personal training directors. You want to have consistency in the training for your clients, but you still want the ability to personalize each workout to each individual client. Our training templates, there is personalized exercise selection education, so that way you can learn how to pick the right exercises based on that person's ability, proximity of the equipment you want to use, the flow of the movements. It's just really cool education in there. We have workout execution education, talking about how to manage warm-up sets, select the right weights, how to manage weekly progressions like we're talking about right now, and a bunch more. We also have the template structure, which is basically a quick reference of how the workout should be structured. And then there's pages and pages and pages of how to explain what the workout structure means, how to personalize that. So I think our templates are like over 30 pages. It's a ton of information. It's almost like mini books. Then we have example workouts for beginners, intermediates, and advanced. There's actually 3 months worth of programming in there with specific exercises with tutorial videos and everything. And then you can kind of learn how to kind of break off from those and develop your own after that. But it's a good 3 full months of programming in there. We also talk about technique for squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, how to stretch to manage muscular tightness, how to self-treat small aches and pains you might get along the way. And then nutrition education, how to set up your own nutrition program, whether that's for you or for your clients. So tons and tons and tons of good stuff. Right now we have a template for 30-minute workouts focused on fat loss and shaping. We have a 60-minute workouts for fat loss and shaping. Then we have our powerlifting template, which is over 50 pages. And it talks everything you will need to know from your first meet to an elite total, which I have done with several clients using all this information. I'll soon be adding bodybuilding-based concepts, which is what I'm working on now, and I'll be adding and adding more. So we also have a template request section on the website. So if you want to request a topic for a template, you're welcome to do that. And each of our templates has a podcast you can listen to that explains everything that's in the template before you would buy it. Awesome. Tons of stuff. I love it. I consider myself super duper blessed to be able to help people. I'm very grateful for everybody that sends in questions, sends in emails. I really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you so, so much. Okay. Well, if you like our podcast, please consider sharing it. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. If you share it on social media, that is freaking awesome. If you share it a conversation with somebody, that is awesome as well. Just let people know that the podcast exists and that they can get help for free. Thank you to those who donate to support the podcast. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. So thank you to those who donate with small donations, whether it's, you know, one-time donations, monthly donations, yearly donations. You can do that at our website at www.brutalirongym.com. So thank you very much. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.